This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
The series of the attributes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today I'm going to talk about his asceticism alayhi salatu wasalam, zuhduhu alayhi salatu wasalam. And the concept of zuhud is a very important one to understand. It's a very central attribute, a characteristic of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in his life. It's often misunderstood and seen as something that is only specific to him, or seen as an attribute that people aren't able to achieve in their lives, when that's not really the case. Zuhud, what it really means is just for the heart not to be attached to the possessions or to the achievements of this dunya. That's really all zuhud means. Zuhud does not carry within it the obligation of living a life where it's difficult and where you're not comfortable and when you don't have things that you find enjoyable. It just means that they don't possess you. You possess them, they don't possess you. Your life does not stop if you don't have them, and they're not the reason for your happiness, and they're not the goal. Another important aspect of the concept of asceticism or zuhud is that the Prophet ﷺ never cashed in. Meaning, all throughout his life, ﷺ, he lived very simplistically. And he performed this da'wah ﷺ, for 23 years. And at no point throughout those 23 years did he take advantage of the status, the wealth, or the power that he achieved ﷺ. That's very important to acknowledge and to pay attention to. Because those who do things selfishly, or those who are after dunya, at some point within their story, they will go after what it is that they wanted, and they'll take it. I mean, they'll continue to wait. Some people are very, very patient. But the moment they have the ability, they'll take what it is that they want, that they were out to get from in the first place. When you read the story, alayhi salatu wasalam, that was never the case. The hadith in the collection of Majma' al-Zawa'id, Imam al-Haythami, and it's narrated with an authentic chain, the Prophet ﷺ was speaking to Abu Dharr. I love this hadith, and he asked him, Ya Abu Dharr, أَتَرَى الْكَثْرَةَ الْمَالِ غِنًا وَقِلَّتَهُ فَقْرًا? Do you see having a lot of money to be wealth and to have a little money to be being poor? فقال نعم يا رسول الله. He said yes, that's what I see. فقال يا أبا ذر إنما الغنى غنى القلب وإنما الفقر فقر القلب. He said يا أبو ذر, really, wealth is the wealth of the heart, and being poor, poverty is that of the heart as well. يا أبا ذر ما تقول في فلان وسمى له رجلا من قريش. And he asked him, oh, أبو ذر, what do you think of فلان? And he gave him a name of a noble person from Quraysh. فقال رجل إذا حضر أدخل وإذا سأل أعطي. This is a man, if he comes, people welcome him, and if he makes a request, people offer it to him. ثم قال لي ما تقول في فلان, and what do you say about this person? وذكر لي رجلا من أهل الصفة لم أعرفه. And he brought up a name of somebody of أهل الصفة, the people who would live in the masjid, those who didn't have much, and I didn't know who he was. فما زال يحليه لي وينعته حتى عرفته. And he kept on describing him to me. You know, Fulan, the guy, he looks like this, he sits here, he does this, until I figured out who he was. فقال, والله لهذا الرجل خير من طلاع الأرض من ذاك. See this man, this poor man that you couldn't even figure out. He is better than a world filled from the other one. He's better than a world that is completely filled with the other one. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام would teach Abu Dharr in this hadith the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees the value of people. It's not based on status and nobility and wealth. Let's say alayhi salatu wasalam, and these are ahadith that are in the sahihin. يقول ما لي وللدنيا ما أنا والدنيا إلا كرجل استظل تحت شجرة ثم راح وتركها. Hey, what do I want from dunya? My example, the example of myself in dunya, is just like a person was on a journey and stopped on his way under a tree. And he will soon get up and leave it. He would say, alayhi salam, kun fi dunya ka'annaka gharibun aw aabiru sabil. Be in the dunya as if you don't really belong in it. You're just stopping on the way. you're on a journey and you're just here for a little bit. The bay'ah he would have with the Sahaba, at least of those who were close to him, alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is something that they all echo in their athar after he died, alayhi salatu wasalam. So you'll find this repeatedly in the books of hadith that talk about, that don't really quote him, alayhi salatu wasalam, but quote the Sahaba, where they would all use the same phrase. And it's very eerie because this phrase is like he used it with them all the time in these you know, private sessions. فَقَالَ بَايَعَنَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ عَلَىٰ مِثْلِ زَادِ الرَّاكِبِ فَمَا نَرَانَا قَدْ وَفَّيْنَا. He made a bay'ah with us that مِثْلِ زَادِ الرَّاكِبِ. زَادِ الرَّاكِبِ is the sustenance of a traveler, that we would only take from dunya what is the sustenance of a traveler just to get to our destination, and I don't think we've done it. Now all the sahaba who would say we didn't do it are sahaba who owned nothing, who died with no possessions, like they didn't have a house. They didn't have anything. Like, these are the people who actually didn't take anything from dunya with them when they passed away. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and the hadith is in the collection of Imam Tirmidhi. It's a long story, so I'm not going to go into the details of it, but he got upset with his wives. And the reason that he got upset was the known story of they got upset because there wasn't a lot of wealth in the family. He kept on not bringing anything home, alayhi salatu wasalam, from all of the battles. Very little. And others were bringing a lot, and he wasn't bringing much, alayhi salatu wasalam. And they got upset, and he got frustrated, and he went to a tree house. A lot of houses had like a ulliya, like a little bit of an attic and within it you would put all the food that you would have for the winter. And he had a little area, alayhi salatu wasalam. He went and he sat there. And of course, the rumor was that the Prophet Ali ﷺ divorced his wives, which he didn't. But that's what the rumor was, because he was, you know, he had said, "I'm not going home. I'm going to stay here for a month." So the Prophet, Umar al-Khattab got very scared because his daughter Hafsa is one of his wives, and it had come to it. He's asking why this is happening. So they told him, "Yuraji'na Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam." I mean, every time he explains something, they argue with him. فَقَالَ وَتُرَاجِعُهُ Hafsa, and my daughter is also arguing with him. فَقَالَتْ نَعَمْ. Yes, she argued. فَقَالَ بِئْسَتِ الْمَرْأَةُ هِي. This is what a horrible... So he goes to his daughter and he's yelling at his daughter, تُرَاجِعِينَ رَسُولَ. This is what you marry the Prophet and you argue with him now. But he goes, radiallahu anhu, trying to figure this out because he's very scared that his daughter was divorced, or the Prophet ﷺ's wives were divorced. But so the Prophet ﷺ has at his door one of the Sahaba. Some narrations say it's Bilal, we don't know for sure. But he told him, just don't let anyone in. So the man is standing at the door. Umar wants to go in. استأذن لي على رسول الله, ask the Prophet permission. So he goes and he comes back. He said he didn't offer permission. So Umar al-Khattab tries again and he still doesn't get in. He comes back in half an hour later. He tries again. The Prophet ﷺ lets him in. He goes in and he starts to kind of play around. He starts to say, يا رسول الله كنا في مكة لا يراجعننا نساؤنا فأتينا المدينة فأصبحنا يراجعننا فغلبننا نساؤنا. We used to be in Mecca. These arguments did never happen. Then we came to Medina and they learned from the ladies of Medina. And now they're arguing with us and they're causing all this problem. He's trying to make Prophet ﷺ laugh. And eventually the Prophet ﷺ, in a long story, would smile. The moment he smiles, the Prophet Umar al-Khattab would say, يا رسول الله طلقت نساءك. Did you divorce your wives? فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لا. No, I didn't. فقال الله أكبر. الحمد لله. He just wanted to make sure that wasn't the case. The point of the story, the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام كان مستلقياً على حصير. He was lying on a piece of حصير. حصير is a type of fabric that is actually is very thick, and it's woven in back and forth perpendicular to itself. If you come from the Middle East, you know what a حصيرة is. But so he's lying on it, and when he gets up, عليه الصلاة والسلام, his whole body is just the pattern of the حصير. And he looks up, and the Prophet ﷺ's shelves, where they're supposed to be the food for the winter, has only three ahubba. I mean, he just has three little jars. One of them is empty, the other one is half empty, and the other one has a little bit of tamr in it. Almost nothing. So Umar al-Khattab sees the Prophet ﷺ when he's lying on. He sees the food that the Prophet ﷺ has in his home. فَقَالَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ هَلَّا دَعَوْتَ اللَّهَ يوسع عليك وعلى أمتك وقد وسع على فارس والروم وهم يدعون غيره. Will you not make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you and your ummah sustenance as he is granting Faris والروم, the other two empires who do not praise him at all? فغضب النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام. So he got upset. قال أفي هذا يا ابن الخطاب. This is what's bothering you. Another narration, أَفِي شَكٍّ أَنْتَ يَبْنَ الْخَطَّابِ. What, are you doubtful? This is what bothers you? You don't see, أَفِي هَذَا يَبْنَ الْخَطَّابِ أَمَا تَرْضَى أَنْ تَكُونَ لَهُمُ الدُّنْيَا وَتَكُونَ لَنَا الْآخِرَةِ أُولَئِكَ قَوْمٌ عُجِّلَتْ لَهُمْ طَيِّبَاتُهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمُوَسِّعٌ عَلَى هَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ وَإِنِّي لَا أَخْشَى الْفَقْرَ عَلَيْكُمْ وَإِنَّمَا الدُّنْيَا أَنْ تَنَافَسُوهَا. So the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام would tell him, aren't you, isn't it enough for you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them dunya and grants you akhirah? There are people who all the good of their existence is going to come to them in dunya. You're upset that you don't have what you have right now? I tell you, the day will come where this ummah will have so much, it will be so distracted, it won't have time to know what is best for it. And dunya will be the reason, will be the cause of its demise. The demise of this ummah will be dunya. It won't be anything else. It will be too much, having too much. Sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. In the known hadith in Imam Tirmidhi and Nasa'i, where the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam would bring home a sheep and they would slaughter it. And after he slaughtered the sheep, they would put pieces of the sheep into bags, and he would send it over to the different people from Ahl al-Suffa and the friends and family of Khadija and whoever he, you know, family and friends, alayhi salatu wa sallam. He was asking Aisha in the process, قال يا عائشة ما عندك, what do you have? فقالت يا رسول الله بقي ما بقي غير كتفها, all that's left of it is its shoulder. So he answered, this is my favorite hadith honestly regarding this issue, because his answer here عليه الصلاة والسلام really does summarize the whole issue. It just shows you how different the way he sees the world is, alayhi salatu wasalam. So Aisha said, yeah, no, all that's left is just the shoulder, just a piece of the shoulder. فقال عليه الصلاة والسلام, يا عائشة بقيت كلها غير كتفها. No, all of it is here. All of it is left except the shoulder, which is what we're going to eat today. As the part that we eat and later on send out the other side, that's the piece that doesn't, it's not there, it's not ours. We use it in dunya, but it's not there for us on the day of judgment. It's not ours. بَقِيَتْ كُلُّهَا. The whole thing is left for us, because the whole thing we gave away, meaning it's waiting for us يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. The part that's not going to be waiting for us يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ is its shoulder, because we're going to eat it right now. بَقِيَتْ كُلُّهَا غَيْرَ كَتِفِيَا. The day of Uhud, when Mus'ab ibn Umayr died, and this is a very important moment for the Sahaba. The Sahaba never forgot this one moment. Like, in your life, you remember certain things that happened. You don't remember a lot. You can't tell the story of your life in detail day after day. You remember these checkpoints, these specific moments that were very important. And the death of Mus'ab and the martyrism of Mus'ab ibn Umayr radiallahu anhu on the day of Uhud was one of those days that the Sahaba continued to talk about years later, those who witnessed it. Because radiallahu anhu, Mus'ab came from a family of extreme wealth. It's very, very wealthy. And when he accepted Islam, he was deprived from all of his wealth. He was kicked out of his house. And he left Ali radiallahu anhu to Medina as an ambassador of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam with nothing. And he continued to perform da'wah there for 2 years, and he never built any wealth. And Uhud came, and he never built any wealth, and he never got married, and he died that day radiallahu anhu. So for the Sahaba, he was the example of someone who gave it all up for the sake of Allah and never got anything in return. To the point where when they wanted to bury him, ما وجدوا إلا نمرة إن غطوا رأسه بدت رجلاه إن غطوا رجليه بدأ رأسه. They couldn't seem, it was not long enough. They couldn't cover, if they covered his head, his feet came out. And if he covered his feet, his head was obvious. They couldn't, and they got frustrated with it. And the Sahaba just stood there. Some of them just, you know, kind of collapsed. They just couldn't deal with it. They were just too hurt with it. He was such a young person and he had nothing. Like he didn't own anything for them to put in a kafan. قال فوقف النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام عليه يبكي. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام stood on, يعني, with the Sahaba crying, يدعو الله يسأل له الجنة. As he makes dua and asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant Mus'ab ibn Umayr al-Jannah, pointing out this piece, عليه الصلاة والسلام, that look how he gave everything up. Look how he has nothing at the end to show for what he did, عليه الصلاة والسلام. Despite all that, كان عليه الصلاة والسلام يلبس جميلة. He would dress well, and he would wear clothing that were beautified. ويأكل الحلوى, and he would eat sweets. ويضع الطيب والمسك, and he would put, perfume and fragrances, and he would smell good, عليه الصلاة والسلام. ويبرد الماء, and he would find ways to make the water cold, Because when you're living in the in the desert, it's very difficult back then to actually get cold water. But he would put in the effort to get the water cold because it's enjoyable. وَيَأْكُلُ الْقِثَاءَ بِالرُّطَبِ. And he liked certain types of food, moist dates with certain types of fruit. He would select them together, عليه الصلاة والسلام. He would ask for them, he would like to eat them. لَا يَتَكَلَّفُ مَفْقُودًا وَلَا يَرُدُّ مَوْجُودًا. He wouldn't go out of his way to get something that he didn't have in his house to wear or to eat. And he would never send anything back, meaning he would never say, oh, this is too fancy, I don't need this. When we talk about asceticism, alayhi salatu wasalam didn't go out of his way to eat less and to wear bad clothing. Quite the contrary. Whatever existed, whatever he had, alayhi salatu wasalam, he would use. But he wouldn't go out of his way looking for things. And he didn't feel the need to put on a show for anyone, alayhi salatu wasalam. And it didn't mean anything to him. He would wake up multiple times in his life. He would wake up, he would ask, what do we have today? Nothing. He would answer would be, inni idhan sa'im, then I'm going to fast today. And today is the day I'm going to be fasting. He did this multiple times throughout his life, alayhi salam. This happened all the time. One day, uhdiyat ilayhi hullatun suyara. It was gifted to him a very nice garment. It was beautiful. It was not local. Anyone who saw it knew this was not something made locally. This was brought from somewhere else. It was very obvious. He was wearing something very nice. It was obvious. It came from a different part. قَالْ فَأَخَذَ الصَّحَابَ يَتَعَجَّبُونَ مِنْهَا. Sahaba are sitting there and they're describing it. Look at this, look at this and the color and the fabric and the way it looks, and they're in awe of this garment. قَالَ فَغَضِبَ النَّبِيَ عَلَيْهِ. So he got very upset. فَقَالَ أَتَتَعَجَّبُونَ مِنْ هَذِهِ. This is something that you like. فَخَلَعَهَا وَأَعْطَاهَا. He took it off and he gave it to someone else. قَالَ وَاللَّهِ لَمَنَادِيلُ سَعْدِ بْنِ مُعَاذِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْهَا. The tissues that Sa'd ibn Mu'adh wipes his face with in Jannah are better than this. And this is years after Sa'd radiallahu anhu died. This is years after Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Mu'adh had passed away. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would come back. And his tissues in Jannah are more beautiful and more valuable than whatever it is you think this is, alayhi salatu wasalam. Yarwi al-Tabarani bi sanad al-Hasan that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that Jibreel alayhi salam came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Qala ya Rasulallah, aturidu an takuna malikan rasulan aw abdan rasula. What do you want to be? You want to be a king prophet like Yusuf and Dawood and Sulaiman alayhi salam? Or do you like to be a servant prophet, meaning someone who doesn't really have much? Qala alayhi salatu wasalam, bal akunu abdan rasula. Aju'u yawman wa ashba'u yawman hatta alqa Allah. I'd rather be a servant prophet. And one day I eat, and one day I'm hungry until I meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The hadith in Sahihain, that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would leave his home one day at a time where he would not leave his home, or no one leaves their home, noon. So he sees Abu Bakr and Umar walking as well. فَقَالَ مَا أَخْرَجَكُمَا. Why are you out at this hour? Noon, no one leaves. فَقَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ الْجُوعَ. We're hungry. So we're just kind of strolling, we're hungry. فَقَالَ مَا أَخْرَجَكَ أَنْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Why are you out? فَقَالَ مَا أَخْرَجَنِي إِلَّا مَا أَخْرَجَكُمَا. I'm out for the same reason you are. فَقَالُوا مَا نَصْنَعُ. What do we do? فَقَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ نَذْهَبُ إِلَى أَبِي طَلْحَة. Abu Talha was one of the Ansar Sahaba from Medina, and he was a wealthy gentleman. So they go to his house, alayhi salatu wasalam, and Abu Bakr and Umar go to his house, and they knock on the door. Abu Talha opens the door. Imagine Abu Talha, radiallahu anhu, he's a known gentleman, by the way. And he has, there's a lot of stories you can tell about Abu Talha. But I want you to imagine him opening his door and finding Rasulullah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and Abu Bakr wa Umar. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَأَبُو بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرْ مَنْ أَحْسَنُ ضَيْفًا مِنِّي الْيَوْمِ. You say, the Prophet and Abu Bakr and Umar, who has better guests in the world than I do? فَأَدْخَلَهُمْ. They come in. فَيَعْنِي أَتَى لَهُمْ بِطَعَامٍ. And رضي الله عنه, he would get some food. He'd have some remnants of meat in his house and maybe some wheat and some tamar and some water. And he'd bring a little bit of food and they would eat. Alayhi salatu wasalam, he and Abu Bakr and Umar would eat with Abu Talha. And once they were done, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam would sit and he would recite upon them, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. And the day will come where you will be questioned and asked about all of this bliss that you are living in. He walked out of his house hungry, alayhi salatu wasalam. I feel like none of these stories land. Wallahi. I feel like none of these stories actually achieve anything with me, because none of us actually have had this experience. Aside from being fasting, aside from today, where you'll come at maybe noonish or something, you'll be hungry actually, but not because of the lack of food inside your house, just because of the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded you to fast and you said, okay, I'll fast. But we don't understand this. For the Prophet and Abu Bakr and Umar to walk out of their homes because there's just nothing in the house to eat, and for them to be hungry enough to go knock on a door hoping that maybe someone will offer them something, just to take away the feeling of hunger, I don't think we understand it. And then after he finds something to eat, alayhi salatu wasalam, to me this is where it becomes, after he's given something to eat, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his response or his first thought is, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ إِذِنَ النَّعِيمُ فَبَكَ النَّبِيَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَسَلَامُ. He recited this verse and he started to sob. فَبَكَ أَبُو بَكَرْ فَبَكَ عُمَرْ. And then Abu Bakr started to sob, and then Umar. فَدَخَلَ أَبُو طَلْحَ فَوَجَدَهُمْ يَبْكُونَ. Abu Talha walks in, he finds them all crying. فَبَكَ, he started to cry. فَقَالَ مَا يُبْكِيكَ يَا أَبُو طَلْحَ قَالَ وَجَدْتُهُمْ يَبْكُونَ فَبَكِيتُ. I walked in, I found all of them crying. I said, well, I can't be the person who stands out. So I cried with them. I didn't know why they were crying, because we just had a nice meal together. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this is the mentality that they had, and this is how they viewed the world around them. They felt they were very grateful for the smallest amount, no matter how small it was, no matter how simple it was. They were extremely grateful for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would grant them. They didn't feel the fact that they didn't have enough food on a daily basis. The hadith says, مَا شَبِعَ آلُ مُحَمَّدٍ مَا شَبِعَ آلُ مُحَمَّدٍ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ تِبَاعًا حَتَّى لَقِيَ النَّبِيُّ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. The family of Muhammad never ate 3 days in a row, ever, until the Prophet died, alayhi salatu wasalam. Not once did they eat 3 days consecutively. Never. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. مَا أُوْقِدَ فِي بَيْتِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم نَارًا ثَلَاثَةَ أَهِلَّةَ. 3 moons would come by and no fire would be turned on in the house of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Meaning they didn't cook anything. Not even a pot of tea, nothing. Meaning it was tamar and water if available. No meals were being cooked in his house alayhi salatu wasalam for 3 months at a time alayhi salatu wasalam. Once he died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't leave any possessions. There was nothing, there was no inheritance. He actually passed away, and his dirah, his shield, marhuna inda Yahudi. He had pawned his shield with one of his Jewish neighbors, because he took a loan out for someone. He took a loan out for someone, not for himself, alayhi salatu wasalam. Meaning, people would come and ask him for loans. People who had more money than he did. The Sahaba would come ask him for loans, and they had more wealth than he did. And he would still go, alayhi salatu wasalam, and he would find ways to get them the money that they wanted. And he would pawn his own possession to give them the loan that they needed, even though they had more wealth, alayhi salatu wasalam, in service of the people around him. Just to serve the people around him, alayhi salatu wasalam, and to satisfy them and to give them all that which they want. Whatever it is he was able to offer, he offered, alayhi salatu wasalam. And when he died, this is what Ali radiallahu anhu had to go and gather a little bit of money so he could buy back the shield. Just so he can, because he didn't want the shield of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to be with someone else. He wanted to have it in his own home, but he didn't have any money either, so he had to go ask. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and I'll end with this, was not poor. He wasn't poor. You say, well, you've been telling us like 10 stories now that make... No, he wasn't poor. There's a difference between someone who can't make ends meet and between someone who the moment wealth enters his house, he gives it away. There's a difference between the two. The Prophet ﷺ couldn't make ends meet, no problem. He had been working since he was 8 years old. He had multiple crafts, ﷺ, and he owned a business. But he just didn't take anything home. He just gave it away. He just would give away whatever it is he had, ﷺ. So, because he chose to live that way. He chose to live that way. Didn't have to live that way, but that's how he wanted to live. That's why the story at the beginning, where the wives were upset, this is what the problem was. Is that they didn't understand that this is how he wants to live. It's not like he's forced to live like this. But they got a little bit upset. So the Prophet ﷺ would come to them after this whole incident and say, يَا أَيُّهَا قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ وَبَنَاتِكَ وَنِسَاءِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ قُلْ لِأَزْوَاجِكَ إِن كُنْتُنَّ تُرِدْنَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتَهَا فَتَعَالَيْنَ. There's verses in Surah Al-Ahzab, make the offer. If they want more wealth, if they want to live a bit better, Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them a graceful divorce from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They will be held in the highest regards, fully respected and given wealth. But if you want to stay with him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you have to live the way he's going to live. You have to be okay with the way he lives because he's not going to change. This is how he wants to live alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? So that we can learn a little bit. So we can see that it's possible for you to live a life where dunya for you is just a tool to make ajr. Where dunya to you is just a tool for they're going to use to improve other people's lives, and you're happy with very little of it. You don't need much of it to get by, and you're not holding on to it, and you're not possessed by it. It doesn't matter to you. Imagine that's how he lived, alayhi salatu wasalam. And look at us today. Imagine if he lived differently. Imagine if he let himself go a little, alayhi salatu wasalam. Imagine if after Hunayn he bought himself a nice little house, maybe with some clothing, a couple of sheep, a few cows, just a little thing, just something for him to, and his wife. We would have no problem with that, by the way. We would be very happy for him, alayhi salatu wasalam. But he didn't, and this is how we live today. He didn't, and look at the ummah. We are one of the most wasteful ummahs on the planet. No, I don't think anyone wastes more food than Muslims do. And this is just a reality. Look at our countries, and the statistics are out there. The numbers are there. This is how he lived, and this is still how we end up. Imagine if he did anything differently, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. So He knew that he had to hold himself to this standard so that we would learn something from him, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'll end with that. Subhanallah bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad, hadha wa habibukum, sallu alayhi, allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad.